So we wrapped up chapter 3 last week, but there are three verses at the end of chapter 3 that really transition us into chapter 4. So would somebody read Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29? 26 through 29, nice and loud.
For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, that is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
And 29, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises.
Thank you. And we touched on that a little bit last week. The Jews, so right now these Galatians, these were not Jewish individuals. These were Gentiles. But the Jewish Christians have now come in and they're trying to impress upon these young Christians that they need to follow these traditions of the Jews so that they can be as blessed as the Jews were and be of Abraham's promise. And that was a misconception. That was something that they misunderstood in their own studying of the law. And so the Apostle Paul is reminding them that through obedience, you become one of Christ's children. And by becoming one of Christ's children, then you become Abraham's seed. That was the claim that the Jews were holding on to, wasn't it? So then it transitions, and we'll just read the first seven verses of chapter 4. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is that loud? Can you hear that? Could we maybe turn it down a little bit? I'll talk louder, but let's move this down. That's making a noise in my ear, and that's a problem. So when we look at chapter 4, verse 2, it says, under guardians and stewards. What does that mean? What's he talking about there? So first of all, he's saying, can we turn down too far? He's saying that if you're an heir, so let's say that I am Donald Trump's son, right? And so when Donald Trump passes away, I am going to be the heir of Trump Towers and all of these other multi-billion dollar things that he has. Do I have any control over that right now?
No.
No. So he tells them that you are under guardians and stewards. What's a guardian?
Teacher. I mean, it could be a teacher. It could be somebody who watches over you to take care of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's keep in mind that when this is written, we're talking about, let's say, wealthy individuals. What did wealthy individuals own?
Slaves.
Right? They own slaves. Not condoning it, just saying they did, right? They own slaves, indentured servitude, whatever it is. And so of those slaves, they would take individuals, very responsible slaves, and they would put that guardian, they would have them be a guardian over their children. Because when you're super rich and you're super busy, you don't have time to raise your own children, right? That's why Emily was so lucky we were poor. So they would have guardians, which were slaves entrusted to the care of their underage children, or stewards. What is a steward? Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, he runs,
Carol said to me.
He runs the owners, all of their businesses to his satisfaction through his direction.
Okay, so they had guardians and stewards. These were individuals who were slaves or workers for this individual that oversaw things, and yet this child eventually would have authority over them, wouldn't he? But while he's a child, what is he or she? Just like a slave. And so they're being reminded of their position, and then they're going to transition through this. Well, it says in verse 3, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. So what are we talking about there? But he's going to make a point, but we've got to get all these little things. What are the elements of the world that these individuals? So now he's gone from talking to Jewish. So the Jewish individuals, they were, as children, under a steward or under a guardian. And yet he's talking to these Galatians who were not Jews. So what were they under? What was that?
The law.
They were under the law. All right. But see, if we were Jew, we were under the law. We had the law. It was given to us. It was Jews. But the Gentiles, did they just walk around willy-nilly, just doing whatever they wanted to do?
Pretty much. They were under the natural law.
They were under a natural law. But even in that natural law, and we can go back and we can study the Galatians, they understood right and wrong, didn't they? Now, to a point. I mean, they did some pretty wild things in worship to their gods that they're dealt with early on in Galatians, and that we talked about back in Philippians, that they weren't allowed to do anymore. But they were under a law, elements of the world, if you will, a worldly law. But there was, you still couldn't just go around killing people, could you?
Weren't they under Roman rule?
They were under Roman rule. Yep. So everyone's under Roman rule. But as you, how do you put this? So we're making a distinction between Jews and Gentiles in this little verse here. And before the Romans came around, did we have Gentiles? Right? So we've had God's chosen people. And then we've had everybody else. And for a long time, and what we've been looking back at is the Jews thought, well, we're God's chosen people, so we're special. And if I'm special, what's that make you? Not special. Right? Because they're going to only be one special. Right? Well, we're learning now in Galatians, no. All the way back. Remember our little promise, right? Way back there at the promise. What was the promise to? The promise was to all people. So basically right now what Paul's doing, and he's going to get into chapter 5 where it's a little bit more positive, but he's just laying this foundation so that we can go on and look at the mistakes that these Galatians are about to make. Let me look at my notes here. Sometimes I get excited. In verses 4 and 5, just so we don't skip anything important. So in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. What does that fullness of time mean? How do we know when that is?
When God decided it is.
There you go.
When it's right.
Yeah, when it's right. So what made it right now? What do we think? It's not in any of the questions back there. It's just extra credit. What do you think made this time for Jesus to come right? Now, I'm asking this question because I know that Dean's talked about it, and I know that Larry's talked about it, and I know, you know, we've studied it. Larry really was into the history, so we talked about this quite a bit. But what's going on right now in history? Carol?
Well, the Romans have done a big job of colonializing the world, the known world, and built roads to be able to keep people under their thumbs. And the language is pretty, a lot of people speak Greek, so you have a lot of commonality as far as being able to travel and understand people. So this really makes it from an earthly standpoint, it makes it a good time to have the message spread.
Right. So, Bob,
up to this time, all prophecy has been fulfilled except for the coming of Jesus the Christ.
Okay. So there's this order of things, but if we look at the worldly side of it, it's a pretty good time. I mean, they're still under Roman rule. They're not digging that. But can they go to and fro? Can they travel here and there? As long as they're not breaking Roman laws, can they worship? Right? So let's just real quick, as an aside, let's look at today. So we can go to other countries, and in some of those countries, just packing a Bible can get you thrown into jail. Those individuals have to meet in private. And even in the countries where they can meet, there's still civil unrest. There's all this stuff going on. And yet, the gospel is thriving. So then when we come here to the United States of America, where we can really do and say whatever we want, what's our excuse?
We don't have any.
We don't have any, do we? You know, we don't have any. We make them. You know, I can stand up here for an hour and tell you how busy I am. So what? Right? This is a good time. In fact, I think it's a fabulous time, as is evident by the fact that we have as many people coming through the doors that are new. You know, we look at the world and we think this world, oh, it's just so messed up and there's so much perversion. There's so much wrong going on. All these bad things are happening. The Democrats hate the Republicans, and the Republicans hate the Democrats, and they're burning Teslas. All this stuff, you see the homeless, you see theft, you see crime, you see all these things. But really what's happening is the world is going, yeah, that's not a really great way to live. So they're searching. And in their searching, some of them are finding us. But how many more would find us if we took the opportunity to use the freedoms that were given so God decides when the fullness of time has come? So God sent forth his Son, John 1:18. My iPad shut up. That means I've been talking too much. Let's turn over to the book of John, and we'll read John 1, verse 18. So God sent forth his Son. We are God's sons by what?
Adoption.
What about Christ?
He's his only begotten.
He's his only begotten Son. So in John, the first chapter, verse 18, it says, no one. Well, let's just back up. So verse 16. And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of his Father, he has declared him. So we read there that Jesus is his only begotten Son. And then we can also read that this is where we can get a little bit confused when we're a babe in Christ. So it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. But how was his son sent forth? Born of a woman. Through a virgin birth, born of a woman. So this is to emphasize Jesus' humanity. Okay, we can read about that over in Romans 1, verse 3. Born under the law. What does that mean?
He was a Jew.
He was a Jew. Yeah, he was born under the law of Moses, wasn't he? And so, therefore, bound by it, wasn't he? Except what did he do differently than everybody before him?
He kept the law perfectly.
He kept the law perfectly. So John, let's say, go back to the book of John, 8th chapter. We'll read verse 46. John chapter 8. Jesus says here, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He's just looking at him saying, who can convict me of sin? Can you do that? I can't do that. Right? None of us can do that, can we? We read over in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, except Jesus. That's what allowed him to be that sacrifice for us, that propitiation for our sins. So he was able, being perfect, to pay that debt. The Galatians are being reminded of this. And he did that to redeem those, verse 5, who were under the law, that they might receive the adoptions as sons. So he's talking to the Galatians, these are Gentiles, about the Jews, saying that Jesus did this so that those individuals could be called his sons. And if they were Jesus' sons, then they were what? Heirs to the promise. Who was the promise through? Abraham. Who did the Jews think made them special? Abraham. Right? I know it feels like we're beating a dead horse, but we're going to get this. That is such a horrible. That's a horrible, horrible saying. Verse 6. He goes on to say, and because you, Galatians, are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. What does Abba mean?
Father is an endearment.
Daddy.
Yeah, means father. So, father, father.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that's how we... Father. So they can call God what? Father. The same God who sent a promise through Abraham... that up until now they thought wasn't for them. That these Jewish Christians are trying to say isn't for you unless you do what? Get circumcised.
Oops.
Okay. Whenever you study, it's a really good idea to study from a multitude of things. Dean and I were talking, I don't know what day it was. About the fact that in most of your studies, you can use AI. So you can just hit a word and it'll give you all the verses that pertain to that word. But you aren't guaranteed that that's going to keep the thoughts in context, correct? What I thought was interesting here is when we're looking at verse 6, and it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. In one commentary that I'm reading, and actually it's probably the one that Kirsten used, it talks about the Holy Spirit is being designated as the spirit of his son. So they're equating the Holy Spirit the spirit of his son, or Jesus' spirit. And then you flip to another commentary, and they say they're two different things. And I'm going to be really honest with you. We've studied the Holy Spirit a few times, and I just get confused. I get confused. Here's what I know about the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we have God's word. So through the Holy Spirit, we have this written word of God. Through the Holy Spirit, these individuals, if they had the Holy Spirit, if they had the hands laid upon them and they were given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they were able to utter the words of God. So they knew what God wanted them to say, or the apostles that wrote the books that we're reading were inspired of God. It was God-breathed. So I went back and forth in these commentaries. And then I went on, you know, the Holy Spirit is also referred to as, if we look over in John 16, verse 13, the Spirit of Truth. In Romans 8, 9 through 11, he proceeds from the Son as well as the Father. So what, and I tend to lean this direction, is that when we're talking about the Spirit of his Son, we're talking about the Holy Spirit who is imparting everything that Jesus wanted to us through his written word. I'm sure I'm confusing all of you in this, so study it yourselves or ask somebody smarter than me. But over in John 16, let's just look there since I'm still in John. John 16, verse 13. Well, I'm going to back up to 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. So they're being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is called the Spirit of Truth, or the Spirit of his Son. And when we study that Trinity, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that just confuses me. I haven't heard a single preacher yet explain it to me to where I could then regurgitate it to you. I just know it's a faith, because I trust through faith. So I'd be happy to sit down and study this one-on-one with you, but in a group setting, I'm just going to muddle it up. But it says, when the Spirit's revelation is implanted in our hearts, we are assured of the blessedness of being God's Son. So in 1 John, First John 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know them. He calls us children of God. How blessed is that? We learn that through the Spirit of God, through God's word imparted to us by the Spirit. Back to John. We're spending a lot of time in John today. John 14. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. This is what we learn through the Spirit. We have this through faith. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. So Paul's impressing upon them that it's through Jesus. It's not through circumcision. It's not through, and let's go ahead and just read a little further. Verse 8. Of Galatians. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those things which are by nature not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? He's pretty bold right there, isn't he? We're kind of soft as a people. We don't necessarily like to have the person in the pulpit beat us up, do we? Like, that is no fun. But Paul's coming at him hard right here. Right? He's coming at him. I am so happy right now. Don't you dare take that child out. You just let her stay right there. I can guarantee you, everybody in here would rather listen to her. Oh, golly. Joy. He comes at him and he's like, why? Why would you want to go back to these weak things, these beggarly things? So before, right? So here's what he's saying to him. The Jews thought you were less than them, right? Isn't that how the Jews viewed everybody else?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't Jesus even impress that upon us when the Samaritan woman came to him and he said, why are you coming to me? Why are you talking to me? Now, did Jesus really feel that way? Or is he teaching us something? But he's like, why? Why, people? And so if we go on, it says, you observe days and months and seasons and years? They have been influenced so much by these Jewish Christians that now they're observing Jewish holidays. Now, is there anything wrong with a Jew through tradition still observing the Jewish holidays? Is there anything wrong with circumcising your children?
No.
What's wrong with it? Finding it. Telling somebody else you have to do that to be pleasing to God. Romans chapter 14 tells us what? You put emphasis on a day. Do it to the Lord. You don't put emphasis on that day. What else do you do? Do it to the Lord. Praise God. Thank God. You want to celebrate Christmas? Celebrate Christmas. Early on as a Christian, we were told, you can't do it. But it's when you're trying to bind, these Jews were trying to bind these inadequate. So what was the purpose of all of those Jewish holidays? Why were they? Why do we have those? What do you think?
To keep the Jews the Jews.
Okay, to keep the Jews the Jews. But go ahead.
It's tradition. It's history.
It's history.
History of how God has loved them and saved them. And
remember it.
Tradition.
Remember it.
There we go. Right here. What's that say? This do in remembrance of me. Do I need to partake of these emblems to remember that Christ died for me?
Yes.
Yes, that's the answer I wanted, right? Yes.
Yes.
Because God knows me as a human being, and he knows that I get distracted. Right? So Jewish holidays were, we call them holidays. Some of those were pretty horrible things that they were being reminded of. But it was to keep on the forefront of their mind what God had done for them. The law was imparted because of unrighteousness. It defined sin. No man could keep it. But yet it was necessary for a time while the Jews were under that stewardship. So he's being pretty aggressive with these Galatians because he sees the dangerous slope. In fact, if we go to verse 11, what does he say right there in verse 11?
I fear for you.
First.
So in my studying, I have the holiday Christians, but it was bringing them back to the old law, which was under the slave. That's where I was taking it. The law was had you as a slave because you still needed that guardianship and you still needed that, whereas the heir set you free. So don't go back to being a holiday Christian just to, you know, say, look at me. And you have to be free for to have God's love. And I don't know, that's where I was going.
I think that's right on. I think it's probably better said than what I was rambling on about. You're set free. So you were under that guardianship or that stewardship. That's what the laws were. That's what those holidays were. All right. But are the Jews anywhere condemned for still celebrating Jewish holidays?
Kind of, sort of, because it made them.
As long as they don't find that on other people, they can do it.
Right. Jason, do you have a minute?
Well, I did, and I was just thinking Philippians chapter 3, where Paul, you know, they're trying to bind circumcision, and Paul goes in, you know, he warns them of them, and yet says, listen, we're not talking about Judas. If anybody is devoted, look at me. But you know, he says, I count all things lost for Christ. That's not what we're, you know, that's the old, you know, we need to strive and look for the new.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
Which is in Christ.
Which is in Christ. But could Paul go to Jerusalem? So he's not condemning Jews. He's condemning the Jews for, like Lenny said, for binding.
Yeah.
Right? Curse.
So Romans 8:14-17, we serve out of love, not fear.
Yep.
And I feel like that's what they were doing, was they were putting that fear into them instead of reading what God said and said that he has love for them. You're no longer in a position as a servant because you're heirs, so you're free to have the spirit of truth.
Yeah. So why would you bind on yourself Jewish holidays that didn't have anything to do with you? The Jews were impressing upon these people. They were converting these people to circumcision and to these holy days. And we're kind of like sheep, aren't we? We're followers.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody makes a good argument, we'll step in line. Maybe we see Sam shaking his head. I'm real sheep. I read this stuff and I try to put myself in their shoes. And you see these individuals who were not raised under the law of Moses. They're new Christians. They've been taught by Paul. They've been taught better by Paul, as we read on, but they've been taught by Paul. But then they see these Jewish Christians come, and they have this confidence, this boldness, right? Because, one, they think they're saved, and two, they've got all this history that they carry with them. And can you see a young Christian maybe falling into the wrong path, right, being led in the wrong direction, right? Chris?
Could the Jewish people who came into the Galatians and influenced them could have been like a spirit of accusation with them?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Come with an accusatory tone, trying to accuse the Christians.
That's kind of what I get out of it, that these Jews are saying, no, you can't serve God unless you do it this way. Okay, but Paul says, I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid for the road that you're heading down. Is your hand up, Kirsten?
It kind of is.
Yeah. Do it. You got to commit.
Okay, I'm going to commit. So in some of my studies, they were talking about they are sucking the joy out of new people who are wanting to learn. So there is no joy. They're saying there is no joy in the legalism and you have to follow the laws, the rules, and the rituals. But that's not right, because he's trying to tell them that God's will for us is joy, a life of grace, and freedom. And there are no side effects.
Did everybody hear that? I really like that comment. I think that's a good comment to end on. These Jewish Christians, how'd you put it? We're doing what?
Sucking the joy out.
Sucking the joy. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever done that? So you take this young Christian. We have a few of them here. You take this young Christian, and then the first thing you do is you get this big book of law out, and you put it on their lap and say, keep yourself in line. Can't do that, 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 can't do that. You have to be perfect. Are any of us perfect?
Nope.
How did we learn to do? Okay, let me quantify this. How did you learn to do things correctly? Were you just born with that ability? Did you come out of the water, these frigid waters of baptism, just knowing that this is how I'm supposed to act, this is what I'm supposed to do? How many of us, as babes in Christ, made the wrong choice? Only 6? Wow.
We made some mistakes
afterwards, right?
Yeah.
And what helps us to get through those mistakes?
Trial and error.
Okay, so study.
Each other.
Trial and error, right? But if I just trial and error on my own, right? That's probably not awesome. So what do I have here?
Examples.
I have examples. I have family, right?
Guides.
2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is what? Given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Yeah. So what does that mean? That means if I make a mistake, somebody can come to me with the scriptures and rebuke me. Lovingly. Less of doing it up here, then you can thrash me. But, right, come to me lovingly and rebuke me. And what should I do? Should I get my knickers in a twist and, right, want to fight? Should I throw insults? Should I go talk to John about it? No. I mean, what did these Galatians do? They just got beat up, right? And if we ever get to chapter 5, we'll find out that there's positives that come from all this, but you accept it, you learn from it, you grow from it.
Study to show yourself approved.
Study to show yourself approved. So don't listen to the guy in the pulpit. Use that as a guide. But we got to study, we got to grow, but we have to keep the eye on the prize. So we have to understand that through the Holy Spirit, we have God's word. We are responsible for studying God's word. Go ahead.
The blessing we have as Christians, though, is when we do fall, we have that opportunity to repent and be forgiven.
Exactly. So under the old law, what happened when we sinned?
Sacrifice.
Well, we would make a sacrifice. What would that sacrifice do? Did it do away with the sin?
No.
No, it just kind of moved it, right? You're still getting punished.
It goes to court.
Under Christ, we can make those mistakes, we can repent, we can know that God still loves us, we can strive and grow and improve, and we have support. But we need to be mindful of that. What Kirsten was saying is that we're not joy suckers. So, young people, if somebody is really thrashing on you, just say, listen, joy sucker, you need to show me some love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's our new saying. I'm going to have shirts made. Cover Grove Church of Christ, not joy suckers. All right, thank you so much for your participation in class. I really appreciate you.